אנחנו לומדים מספר כתבי בעל הסולם, מאמר מהות.
We're reading from Kabbalah for the Student, page 54. Two paths, a path of pain and a path of Torah. You can ask questions live on CAP TV. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson. The essence of religion and its purpose. Page 54. Two paths, a path of pain and a path of Torah. We have shown that God is the absolute good and that He watches us in complete benevolence without a hint of evil and in purposeful guidance. That means that His guidance compels us to undergo a series of phases by way of cause and effect, preceding the resulting until we are qualified to receive the desired goodness. And then we shall arrive at our purpose as a ripe and fine-looking fruit. And we understand that this purpose is guaranteed for us all, or else you flaw His providence, saying it is insufficient for its purpose. Our sages said, divinity in the lower ones, a high need. That means that since His guidance is purposeful and aims to eventually bring us to adhesion with Him, so it would reside within us. This is considered a high need, meaning if we do not come to that, we shall find ourselves regarding His providence flawed. This is similar to a great king who had a son at old age, and he was very fond of him. Hence, since the day he was born, he thought of only good things for him. He collected the finest, wisest, and most precious books in the kingdom and built him a school. He sent after the finest builders and built palaces of pleasure. He gathered all the musicians and singers and built him concert halls and called the finest bakers and chefs to provide him with all the delicacies in the world. But alas, the son grew up to be a fool with no desire for education. And he was blind and could not see or feel the beauty of the buildings. And he was deaf, unable to hear the poems and the music. And he was ill, permitted to eat only coarse flour bread, arising contempt and wrath. However, such a thing may happen to a flesh and blood king, but that is impossible to say about the Creator, where there cannot be any deceit. Therefore, He has prepared for us two paths of development. The first is a path of suffering, which is the conduct of development of creation from within itself. By its own nature, it is compelled to follow a way of cause and effect in varying consecutive states, which slowly develop us until we come to a resolution to choose the good and reject the bad, and to be qualified for the purpose as He desires. And that path is indeed a long and painful one. Therefore, He has prepared for us a pleasant and gentle way, which is the path of Torah and mitzvot, which can qualify us for our purpose painlessly and quickly. It turns out that our final aim is to be qualified for adhesion with Him, for Him to reside within us. That aim is a certainty, and there is no way to deviate from it, since His guidance has supervises us in both paths, which are the path of pain and the path of Torah. But looking at the actual reality, we find that His guidance comes simultaneously in both paths, which our sages refer to as the way of the earth and the way of Torah.
Questions?
Ken.
Yep.
No, Yochai.
Yochai.
Good morning, Rav.
Good morning.
Rav, is there really a path without suffering? Is that possible?
Depends how you take them. If you understand that to reach the goal, you must, and your donkey won't agree, so you come to me with a stick, a good stick, and say, hit me, just as long as I want it, as long as I do it, otherwise I can't. Is that called path of suffering or Torah?
Still, it's beatings.
It depends how you accept it. It could be the path of the Torah.
I don't understand. I have a problem. Problems. Friends say that I have a problem. There's a certain problem.
Who are you listening to? You have nothing. The Creator made you whole, just like that, except for one little thing, that you aren't drawn to the goal so much. That's the only thing. The rest? It's all perfect. It's all great. You shouldn't pay attention to anything but that.
But if the friends say that there is something...
So they're mistaken because they have the same problem. That's why they can't see you as whole. You see how I look at you? You are a great guy, good boy.
Rob, I mean...
I am serious. Except for yearning for the goal, we are not lacking anything. Doesn't belong to this. Only think about that one point.
But Rav, if they say,
what are they saying?
They're saying you have a corporeal problem, you have to take care of it.
So they're not agreeing with the Creator that created you like this. They have a problem with the Creator, let them go to Him.
No.
Yeah? Nothing else to talk about. Repeat what I just said, and you'll see. There's no problem except for one.
So, how do I develop this yearning?
Except for that, you don't need anything else. Just develop that. That's it. Because the rest was given from the Creator. That's it. The yearning depends on you. That's the only thing that depends on you. And you are with these friends, even though they're saying that to you, I guess that should be like that too. The Creator's letting you hear that, that specifically with them, you will develop the yearning for the goal.
But how? They're telling me that there is a problem.
I guess that's what you need to hear right now. And from that, start.
But here he's talking without suffering, where we advance, you know, willingly.
No.
No, I mean, you know, out of importance.
That I want it? How can I want such a thing that's against my nature?
Because they say so. You say so. Kabbalists say so.
Where did you see a person that was born and himself, he wants and yearns and comes to it and doesn't need to fight his own nature? Where did you see such a thing?
No, I for myself, I know that.
Not you, everybody's like that. Everybody, we don't want. We want the goal, gimme. Even two or three of those. But not that I need for that to uproot myself. You understand? Sit, suffer a bit more till you understand. But really, there is no problem in this. And you have all, how do I say it, everything you need in order to attain. There's no one here who doesn't have it. Nobody here in Gmar Tikkun, when he sees himself from the beginning of creation to the end, you won't have anything to say to the Creator. Nothing. But you'll see that everything was given to you perfectly, except for one thing. Connection with the friends, avut, covenant, all those things that you need in order to organize the correct system of connections.
Regardless of what they say about me?
Important, why not? But upon that, start developing. Yeah? Upon that.
So what do you do? Here, they're saying something, and
love will what? Cover all crimes.
Will cover all crimes.
Good, so you know what to do. Only that. Do it back to them. Let them speak about you, say whatever they want. You say to them, I love you, and in return.
I can deal with it only because this is my group, really.
Good, so say that all the time. Everything they tell you, who do you think you are, they want to, I love you. You don't understand how much that'll help. Just do it. And come on. Anybody else want to ask? Yeah?
About the goal. That we have to reach adhesion with the Creator, is it evident, the goal, or we have to believe it? Or
we don't know what it is. I'm hearing adhesion with the Creator. You know, I heard it from the first day I came to the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's even written in all kinds of other books. All the Hasidics and all of that. That Dvekut, what is Dvekut? You tell me, what does it mean to be adhered? I don't know. That's it. Until a person starts understanding what dvikut is, he has to go through the whole ladder. Yeah.
So we have to believe the Kabbalists that this is the goal?
They attained it. For them, it's not faith anymore, it's knowledge and attainment. It's a reality that they exist in. And we need to believe that it's like that. What can you do?
Why does concealment have to begin with such a disconnected, far away degree?
The complete inversion, not even from the will to receive, but from the degree of a beast. Yeah? Just as a person is born, yeah, on the smallest degree, a stupid, even less than a beast. You see, the animals are born, how do I say it, in a much more they're ready for life. They understand what they're supposed to do. Within a few hours, you see an animal already walking, trying to find how to suckle from the mother, how to organize himself, starts following her, like a calf or something. It's a wonder. Within a few hours, man, look at that. It's a log. You turn him this way, turn him that way. Doesn't know anything. Even can't swallow. He can't even suck. There's no instinct of a beast. We start less than a beast. Yeah.
So the question is, why should it be from this state?
We have to go through all of creation from still all the way to the top, till the Creator.
And isn't it enough to start with...
No. You'll understand later on. Just to encompass all of creation, so inside of us we have to go through everything. Not only that, also the olamot of the klipot. Now it's nothing. This is our life. But afterwards you have to integrate in all the klipot, the worlds of the klipot, to get into such areas that are everything. It's a good trip before you. Madeline. Please. What's the difference between the path of suffering and the path that I choose to advance from myself? Except for the suffering. Is there a difference?
The difference is simple. If I accept to follow what Kabbalists advise me to, then I as if put aside the developmental, the natural developmental force and axis called evolution. And then, as he says, I take the development into my own hands and I control nature. And not that nature manages me. And then, through society, studying, drawing the reforming light, I advance myself in such a way that every time I run away from the blow. The blow is supposed to come upon down upon me right now. I escape, and again, and again. And every time, I go forward. Meaning, I'm grateful for these blows that are already ready and prepared for me, because with their help, I advance. Until I start creating a gravitating force for myself instead of a force that pushes me, where the goal, it becomes great and sparkling, and so I'm drawn to it, and not by the force of nature. And if not, then by the force of nature. You get blows and you advance. This is how it is with mankind. And Kabbalists, what's different about them is that they want to advance to the force that they awaken, what's called I awaken the dawn, Tbilisi.
Turns out that I feel that I don't have a desire to advance from myself, and I'm prepared to receive blows in order for them to push me to the goal. Does that mean I'm using the freedom of choice?
No, you don't. You lower yourself beneath free choice, under it. Free choice means to choose life, and you're not choosing life. Even though that you know that you can choose it, you let it be and you say, this I'm going to advance. They're going to give me blows, I can't do anything. It's a period in our development that we have to feel, that we have to go through, that we have to get different discernments and then go. But it's something that we all have to go through. He has to feel, what does the will to receive mean? That it is a creation from above, where it says that I've created the evil inclination. Man has to understand that if not the Creator, if it's not for the Creator that will rule, then man will. And then it's Pharaoh. Then it's Pharaoh that rules.
How can I get rid of habits, bad habits? Let's say if somebody gets electrocuted when he touches the refrigerator.
No. That's good. It's called monkey see, monkey do. Meaning what? You did something wrong? Blow. Something else wrong? Blow. It's not the recognition of evil. It's not studying. It's not by becoming integrated with the emanator that you learn how to correctly act, behave. Therefore, blows, you don't learn from blows. You only run away from it. You close yourself. It takes away your confidence. It really lowers you to the degree of a small beast that's constantly afraid of blows. You can't develop that way. The only way to develop is with the help of the reforming light. Society and light.
So when I am in faith above reason, feel and from there I feel my ego. So afterwards I can pray correctly.
Yeah, bit by bit, that's how it goes. But not to be afraid of any situation. Everything that we go through, there is a place for it. And even the worst states, the Creator wants to show us who we are, for us to learn that we're little animals, and that in every situation, you have to say, go to the craftsman who made me, to go to the Creator for him to correct things, and not to sit and eat yourself, where it's like a fool eating his arms crossed, eating his own flesh, instead of turning to the correcting upper force that's made in order to correct you.
The essence of religion is to develop enough the sense of recognition of evil. We're in New York. New York is not now. 15 more minutes. The essence of religion is to develop in us the sense of recognition of evil. Our sages say, why shall the Creator mind whether one slays from at the throat or at the back of the neck? After all, the mitzvot were only given to cleanse people. That cleansing has been thoroughly clarified in Matan Torah. But here I would like to clear up the essence of that development which is attained through Torah and Mitzvot. Bear in mind that it is a recognition of evil within us. The engagement in the Mitzvot can slowly and gradually purify those who delve in them. And the scale by which we measure the degrees of cleansing is the measurement of the recognition of evil within us. Man is naturally ready to repel and root out any evil from within him, in that all people are the same, but the difference between one person and the next is only in the recognition of evil. A more developed person recognizes in himself a greater amount of evil, and hence repels and separates the evil from within to a greater extent. The undeveloped senses in himself only a small amount of evil, and will therefore repel only a small amount of evil. As a result, he leaves all his filth within, for he does not recognize it as faith, as filth. To avoid tiring the reader, we shall clarify the general meaning of the good and bad as it has been explained in Matan Torah. Evil in general is nothing more than self-love, called egoism, since it is opposite in form from the Creator, who hasn't any will to receive for himself, but only to bestow. As we explained in Matan Torah, pleasure and sublimity are measured by the extent of equivalence of form with the maker, and pain and intolerance are measured by the extent of disparity of form from the maker. Thus, egoism is loathsome and pains us, as its form is opposite from the maker. But this loathsomeness is not divided equally among all souls, but is given in varying measures. The crude, the undeveloped person does not regard egoism as a bad attribute and uses it openly, without shame or restraints. He steals and murders in broad daylight, whether he finds it possible. The somewhat more developed sense some measure of their egoism to be bad, and are at least ashamed to use it in public, to steal and kill openly. But in secrecy, they will still commit their crimes. The even more developed feel egoism to be loathsome thing indeed, until they cannot tolerate it within and reject it completely, as much as they detect of it, until they cannot and do not want to enjoy the labor of others, then begin to emerge in them sparks of love for others, called altruism, which is the general attribute of goodness, and that too evolves gradually. First develops love and desire to bestow upon one's family and kin. As in the verse, "Thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh." When further developing, one's attribute of bestowal expands to all the people around him, being one's townspeople or one's nation. And so one adds, until he finally develops love for the whole humanity.
Shilot.
Questions.
Ken Asaf.
Yes, Asaf.
He speaks about development of the quality of bestowal, the quality of creator in man.
Why are you asking?
Because
it's like,
yeah, like it's something social, or
not with the help of the reforming light. If it's the reforming light, then the relatives and the goal and everything else is different for him. He writes it for the masses. Still, there is the opinion of the Torah and the opinion of the landlords, both in the wisdom of Kabbalah, the way it relates to the masses, those without a point in the heart, and those that do have one.
So can we use this explanation and use it towards the audience? Because this is more understood. This sounds clear.
Sure, that with the help of the wisdom of Kabbalah. What would Rabash say? Used to say, by studying, because you're studying, you'll love your wife more, your children. Look at Nev. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to get along better. And for those with a point in the heart, what will he say? You'll forget about them. You'll adhere to the Creator through the friends. Everything else is... Everyone else is a beast. When you get married, you buy a cow and a talit, and so on. It's not something... It's not disregarding or anything, but it's simply a matter of priorities. What else? Nothing from the world, too. Yeah.
Baal HaSulam writes that development of the recognition of evil is by engaging in Torah and Mitzvot. Why does it always come together, Torah and Mitzvot? What does it mean? What's the connection between them?
How many years are you with us already?
10?
10. Well, still early. In reality, there are two forces. The force of bestowal that has created the force of reception. The force of bestowal, because it has created the force of reception, is called the creator. The force of bestowal is higher, bestowing. It determines the force of reception because it was created. It's called the created being. Darkness, will to receive. Two forces. The force of bestowal controls the will to receive that it has created. Therefore, it's called light. That's why it's called light. It's not light. That's why it's called light. That through its influence comes all the plenty and abundance to the will to receive, meaning it fulfills your heart and mind and everything, giving you forces. And this on condition that the will to receive is in a state where it surrenders to the light and is willing to do whatever the light wants to make out of it. But the will to receive is made to begin with in such a way that it doesn't want to surrender, to yield to the light, and therefore the actions that the light has to perform on the will to receive are its influence from above, which is called Torah. And the actions of the will to receive, of surrendering to the light and doing what the light wants and being in correspondence with it, is called mitzvot. Because mitzvot, meaning commandments literally, because it carries out what the light wants from it. So everything that the light brings to the will to receive is called Torah and mitzvot. The Torah, it comes from above, the reforming light, and the mitzvot is the extent to which the will to receive is willing, pressuring itself, making something similar to the light out of itself. This is what the Torah and mitzvot is.
Yeah. So the mitzvot come before the Torah?
No. Without the light that shines on the will to receive, there's nothing to talk about. But after it does, then the will to receive starts feeling uncomfortable because the will to receive has a will to receive, meaning it's... And the light that shines upon it awakens a different feeling in it, and then an opposite feeling, and then the will to receive feels this kind of tension between what it wants and what the light wants. If it subjugates itself through the wisdom of Kabbalah and different actions, accepting what the light wants from it, it's called keeping the mitzvot. And the light demands of it to make changes in everything that the will to receive was built upon. And it's made out of 613 parts. Therefore, we're talking about the 613 changes in the will to receive called 613 mitzvot. How will we do this? By the upper light called Torah. Torah from the light, from the word light. That's it.
So can they say that the light came first, or is it together?
Of course the light comes first. I'm sorry. We have to ask New York. New York.
Shalom, Rav, everyone. We wanted to share with everyone the schedule for the Congress. This is the first draft of the schedule, and we wanted to just briefly go over it and mention the kind of some of the new elements in it, and we really want to hear friends' comments. So,
no, if we're not knowing the loss,
Where can we see the schedule?
Excellent. So these are Eastern times. If it's more comfortable, we can show it Israel times. I don't know what you prefer. Yeah, okay, Israel time. Excellent. So let's go to Friday. Shlomi, can please go to Friday? Oh, it's Saturday for you. I'm sorry. My bad. So the Congress will start Friday night here. It's Saturday morning in Israel time. We start with a Yeshivat Chavarim, 2 a.m., 45 minutes. It's a longer Yeshiva to open the Congress. Then lesson number one, we go straight into lesson number one, which would be 2.5 hours. And then we added a lesson summary at the end of the lesson, which is a time for us to do some sort of a summary, some sort of work between us. It's not exactly defined what will happen there, but we have a team working on it. After that, we have a break and a broadcast during the break, and we go to a very light meal. It will be evening here for the Western Hemisphere, but we want to have a nice light meal that will finish the first day. Okay, let's go to the next day. Okay, then at that time it's morning in Israel, but we really hope that the friends will go to sleep because we're going to meet again. It's going to be 3 p.m. for Israel, for us it's going to be Saturday morning, and we'll start the day with a broadcast. So it will be something that will allow the friends to kind of get into the day, a little bit like the Radio Zohar, but it will be broadcast from the world somewhere. Then we go into a gathering of friends, and from that straight into lesson number two, and again a lesson summary after that, followed by another break and a meal. It will be a dinner for Israel. It will be lunch for us, the Western Hemisphere. After the meal, we have another break. Those breaks are for setup, but we're also going to use them for broadcast. And these broadcasts are going to help us move from an event into another event. So it will be kind of a continuation, but also a preparation. Then we go into the next lesson prep and lesson number three. And we have our summary, followed by a break. And then we're going to go into a dedicated activity, world activity, which will be 1 hour, which will be sort of a status meeting for the whole Congress, Congress as a whole. Again, it's in the works, so we will know more about it and we'll share with the friends. And then we go into a break or a broadcast break, and then followed by a meal, which will be our dinner. And after that, this is going to go into the next broadcast break and the lesson preparation, which corresponds roughly to the morning lesson in Israel time, a little earlier. And we go into lesson number four, followed by a lesson summary and the end of the day. That's basically the end of the official end of the Congress. But we wanted to also use the global gathering of friends that comes on Sunday as an official summary of the whole Congress. So yeah, it's in the schedule, but it's a usual global gathering of friends, but we want to use it as a summary. So this is the schedule that we came up with after many, many deliberations and thoughts and ideas.
Okay, send it.
Yeah, so it will appear in Sviva Tova also. We're asking friends to take a look, and if they have any comments or suggestions to send us. We also want to say that the survey is one last day to answer the survey. We have a lot of ideas that we received, so if you have anything to contribute, please fill out the survey. And tomorrow morning, for New York time, there will be the general meeting of all the departments. So we hope to see everyone there.
But send it to me to Leo. Okay, we have to see and think about it. What are we going to do? We'll hear your comments and then we'll decide.
Announcements. World Yeshivat Chaverim. We are writing in friends at 6:45 p.m. to unite and connect in the world Yeshivat Chaverim. Thank you to all the TV viewers. Course, the Foundations of the Wisdom of Kabbalah. Our Kabbalah campus is happy to invite you to an introductory lesson. in the wisdom of Kabbalah. For details, go to our website. Admission is 30 shekel. You can call the toll-free number 2. Good day, everybody. מתחברים אל המקור בפרו ואקוודור זורם נהר של אהבה בין אילת לערבה ברור שאין עוד מלבדו בליסבון ובבורדו ושהותו וגם מיטיב בניו יורק ותל אביב Around the world a ray of light is calling people to unite Igniting all the points inside Endless love will be our guide Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine Kazakhstan, Sibir and Krim Дышит воздухом одним Устремление едино От Москвы до Сахалина От Чикаго до Читы От Литвы до Алматы От Сиднея до Берлина От Парижа до Пекина Around the world a ray of light Is calling people to unite Igniting all the points inside Endless love will be our guide Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine Mire lo que sucedió en Japón y Kazajstán Se abren los cielos también en Moscú y Jerusalén Más ciudades y naciones, más hermanos y uniones Grandes olas de amor, solo un clic, un corazón Around the world a ray of light Is calling people to unite Igniting all the points inside Endless love will be our guide Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine Above the place and beyond time